Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Listening to Chicago's afternoon news here on 720 WGN. With any luck, some rain tonight. Showers and thunderstorms even more likely overnight, so we'll see how that goes. A couple of items I want to let you know about. You know, we do that Your Hometown focus every last Thursday of the month. So this Thursday is the last Thursday in May. We're going to be in St. John, Indiana, talking about it during the Hometown series anyway. So tune in as we go 24 miles southeast of Chicago to Indiana's South Shore region to highlight St. John, Indiana. It's described as a town you can call home. Your Hometown feature, St. John, Indiana, this Thursday. Could be your hometown we talk about in the future. Go to WGNradio.com/yourhometown and send us your suggestions. Your Hometown featuring St. John is sponsored by At Properties and McDonald's. And speaking of St. John, the John Williams Facebook, the news click today is, should Mayor Lightfoot veto it if Lakeshore Drive gets renamed? You know, there's a movement to do that. Go to WGNradio.com/newsclick. The choices are, the mayor should veto it, the mayor should pick a different fight. 90% so far saying the mayor should veto changing the name of Lakeshore Drive. On the phone line now is Terry Savage, here to talk about your money and all kinds of other things. Terry, how are you?
I am fine. I'm sitting here watching the markets after hours on my computer because I just noticed that today gold ticked up over $1,900. And in August last year, it was over 2,050. Actually, the high in the last year is $2,063 an ounce. But gold just ticked back up. I mean, it dropped.
So what does that tell you?
To $1,700 an ounce. It's very interesting. It's just, boy, it made a little double bottom there and right back where it had bottomed out in May a year ago. And I don't know. Because someone asked me about inflation a little while ago.
Sure. That's that's the topic of the month, I think, isn't it? Inflation?
Exactly. Well, because we know the Fed chairman thinks it's, quote, transitory, and gold isn't the only thing that you'd want to have if there were inflation. Obviously, there are a lot of people that would think they would rather have doggy coin or Bitcoin or one of the coins. But I'm so old-fashioned, and I just noticed this. It's a really interesting chart of gold.
Okay, so there's gold. When it looks at the stock indices today, looks like they're just kind of hanging around. Not much happened.
Yeah, well, we finished with the earnings season. Nothing else is about to happen. We had practically a war in the Middle East. That didn't do anything. Didn't do much for gold either, come think of it, given what was going on there for a week. It's the summer doldrums. I'm not good on the stocks day to day. I'm really not. But look at, we're back up near the highs. So.
Well, we'll take it. Anytime the 401k is going up, Terry, it's a good day. That's what I say.
Exactly. It's a good lifetime.
Our phone number is 312-981-7200. If you've got a question or comment, you can give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. A lot of people text. The texts are fine, but I'd much rather hear your voice. It's easier to understand your question, too, when you call. So one of the things we learned last week, Terry, as the proud owner of two recent college grads, is that looks like President...
Oh, wait. Congratulations. Are both your kids out of school?
Yeah, they're both out. Lily finished last year, and Emma finished a few years ago. So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. All right. You're a free man.
Free, but there's a bit of a student loan issue. Not much. I mean, both kids are doing really well with that. But, you know, why not? We were hoping for $10,000 in loan forgiveness. It doesn't look like that's going to happen now from the Biden administration.
Well, there's a lot. That's just a lot of intrigue about what the president might do. First of all, the administration appears to be waiting for an opinion from the Justice Department about whether the president could actually do this by executive order. You know, the first thing they did was they paved the way for it with the Recovery Act, saying that if you did forget have your loans forgiven. Typically, whatever the loan is, if it was just a loan you someone made and they said, oh, that's all right, keep the $10,000 or the $20,000, that's treated as a gift to you or a taxable income to you in a business sense. But what they did with the law is that they said it won't be treated as forgiveness of debt.
So you wouldn't have to pay taxes on it. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But but everybody's saying, but we haven't seen even a mention of it in all the things the president's brought up.
Right.
We will come to a day of reckoning very quickly, October 1st, when people have to start paying again.
Right. So I want to take a quick break and come back and pursue this with you. But we're talking to Terry Savage here. Check out her work at terrysavage.com. 312-981-7200 is the telephone number. You can fax us in a question or just say hi, as someone just did. Give us a call as well. We'll get to Terry and your calls after this. First, here's Mary. Back on Chicago's Afternoon News, I'm Steve Bertrand. You're listening to 720 WGN. Terry Savage is on a phone line. You can read her columns or send her a question at terrysavage.com. Encourage a phone call, 312-981-7200. You can text. If you text the number you have, it's important that you use words and sentences because it's kind of hard to follow some of them, Terry.
He's not good at that, folks. He's not really good at sorting those out. Hey, I want to tell you something. I just checked. I have a column that will go up tomorrow at terrysavage.com. Is either of your kids working for a nonprofit or a teacher or
an employer
that is public service?
No, they're not.
Okay, let me just mention, and then tomorrow you all can go to terrysavage.com and read it. The Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program was put into effect in 2007. And like about 3,000 people qualified after paying 10 years with all the quirks of the program and because the previous administration didn't make any effort on it. So of all the people that thought they might be able to qualify, I think about 3,800 loans have been forgiven. However, Tuition.io, one of my favorite companies, is now has put together a program for employers to offer, employers who are like municipalities or hospitals, nonprofits, any nonprofit organization. For their employees, they will track the payments, make sure you've got the right loans on track. The idea is that you take one of the income-based repayment plans, the least amount of money, and you have to make every payment for 10 years, 120 payments, at the end, and that's a reduced payment other than the regular pay it off in 10 years plan, these income-based plans. And then at the end of 10 years, if you followed all the rules, which they're setting up with employers to make sure that your loans qualify and that you do it correctly, the rest of it is forgiven.
That's a big deal
that's a really interesting use now of the old public service loan forgiveness program.
There were so many people who thought they were doing everything they needed to do, right?
Right, exactly. And they were so badly disappointed. But now this program is run, it's not something you go to online to do it. Your employer, and it costs next to nothing for them to set it up, but the way they get this organized is they know for sure that your employer qualifies if they do it through the employers. That way you wipe out the disappointment of going, no, you can switch jobs, but they all have to be public service qualifying jobs. And then once the employer sets this up, the employer doesn't get involved. They just set it up, and that means they can go through, that you on this website can go through the loans and make sure that you're paying the right loans and the ones that qualify. You'll read the column tomorrow.
Terry, you know, this doesn't affect everyone, but so if you thought you had qualified, in many ways you did everything right, but the government or the administration back then changed, I don't know if they changed the rules or they didn't follow up or whatever, can you reapply for forgiveness of those loans?
It depends on the loan you had. It depends on the number of payments you made and the period of time. It's going to be very hard. A lot of people, and then a lot of people, I guess this already ran in syndication on Sunday or Monday. So people emailed me and said, you know, I would qualify, but there are income levels too. And my spouse makes so much money that I can't qualify based on income. So all the parts of this.
Threading the needle, right? Okay, yeah. So consumer confidence came out today, the April figure. It was below what people were expecting. Is that because sometimes we talk so much about inflation, people get scared about it, and then they lose confidence, or is this a substantial sign of change ahead?
You know, we've had some interesting numbers. We've had jobs numbers that were encouraging and discouraging. There's still millions of people who are not working. So we had quite a bump up the previous month. And I don't much look at 1 month's figures. There's no doubt that a good hunk of the economy is roaring ahead. That should bring people along with it. That's my take on it.
Okay. Also, housing figures out today, the Case-Shiller report.
That's amazing.
The price is now more than 13% higher than it was for the same month a year ago. That's nationwide. When you come to Chicago, Chicago, we're 9% in March compared to the same month a year ago. So we're up 9% year over year, which is a pretty monster number. We're still 20th in the Case-Shiller 20 city index, but still 9% is good. I wanted to ask you about the competition for homes, right? Prices going up isn't necessarily good. You can get a lot of money for your house, but a lot of people have nowhere to move once they do that.
I was about to say, then where do you go?
Right.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. What's really holding things back is the supply of new homes and the prices of new homes, which have increased as, you know, copper and lumber have gone up. So if you're sitting in your house, you nudge your spouse and say, honey, we did the right thing buying 3 years ago here. But it's one thing to decide that your stock's gone up and then you have the decision, do I take a profit and invest it somewhere else? I don't think many people think about their homes as, well, that was really a great trade. Let's get out of it.
You raise really good point, because so the home sales, the prices are going up dramatically because there's not a lot of homes on the market. The cost for building new homes is high because of the cost of lumber and things like that. So, but housing prices rarely go down, right? So
remember 2008, 2009, bulldozing houses in California?
Momentito. I said rarely. That was a really significant, strange event. So what I'm saying is...
It happened in the early 70s, too.
But okay.
And happened again in 81 when the realtors mailed all the house keys.
You don't like me, do you?
Paul Volcker at the Fed.
You just don't like me.
No, I don't. But I think we don't, we have long cycles. There are some long, long cycles.
All right. Well... I was moving toward a point, but my point is that with this boost in home levels, if they don't drop down, even though it was an artificial boost because of fewer homes on the market, if you're sitting on a house, you may well realize that profit. You might keep that boost, is what I'm trying to say. Now I got to go. So say goodnight, Gracie.
The market will have its way in the end, and there will be more houses built, and the price of lumber will come down. It's coming down already. And things will even out.
Gotta go.
Don't think of your house as a commodity.
All right. We'll talk again next week. Be well,
Thanks,
Terry.
Steve.